हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवत्सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bhakti Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana 1, Description of the Bhakti Yoga Process, page 25, Anuchedana 8. Shruti explains the same fact. Atma vare drashtavya shrotavyo mantavyo nididhyasitavya. The Lord should be seen, heard, thought of, manana, and worshipped. Priyat Aranyaka Upanishad. Nididhyasana means worship, and seeing means meeting directly. That rare bhakti is attained even from performing one's dharma, if dharma is endowed with pleasing the Lord. Pleasing the Lord is the highest result of dharma. Then down at the bottom of the page. The Brahminical class is essentially for actual human civilization. Right? So the Brahminical culture, that is human culture. Then within that, the Brahminical culture, because we're doing something on a grand scale, it needs organization, it needs money, it needs work. So therefore, within the Brahminical culture, people are divided into the four different situations. Right? And so, and we see is that, you know, so everybody's doing something, you know, has some part in it. And then on the ashram side, you see is that form of the varna, that's in the position of the grihastha. Right? And the grihastha generally being the greater volume of individuals, then it is enough to maintain the whole society. But you see in the ashram side, three quarters of it is spent not being involved in that kind of activity, focused on the spiritual. Does that sound make sense? Yeah. So, that then preparing for that, and then having gone through, then that retired, where you contemplate that, and then finally moving on. Does that make sense? So that's what you're trying to do. So that's the Brahminical. So the ashram aspect, and the knowledge by which the system runs, that direction, that's the Brahminical. And the others are supportive elements within it. You know, you could ask, no, but Brahminical would just be that. Let's say the Brahmin is performing his duties, so he's going to do his yajna, right? But then he needs paraphernalia, he needs to collect the paraphernalia, he needs to wash the paraphernalia, or do so many things. So those are things that others could be doing. They're Brahminical activities that others could do. Does that make sense? And so these kind of arrangements and you know, organizing and all that, then you can't say that they're not part of the Brahminical system. So therefore the Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, they're part of the Brahminical system. Right? Yes.
I was just kind of considering this point about the Dvija, Vipra and Brahmana.
Okay.
Connecting it back to the Shravana Manana Vidyasana, then can we see that Dvija is the one who did Shravana and Vipra he has done Manana also, and Nididhyasana is only the Brahman who came to that conclusion applying.
Yeah, but that's the Vaishnava. Technically.
Yeah, Brahman, the real Brahman is a Vaishnava then.
Yeah, okay. But then, because he sees the bigger picture.
Basically, he's already coming to the conclusion and already started applying. And then, Manana is said that you're concentrating on the purpose of the veda, as Prabhupada defined. Shravana as that hearing with attentiveness, and manana as concentrating on the purpose of the veda, and Nididhyasana is coming to the conclusion and engaged in the worship.
Yeah, in the worship. Okay, because that could be then a general worship that you're doing, you're following, because you accept, you know, the theistic, that God's law and all that. And then the Vaishnava would be beyond that.
Yes.
So then, as he says in the second, so that rare bhakti is attained if you take these other levels and engage them in Krishna service.
Yes,
that's very nice. Yeah, putting them on there.
Actually, when at one point when we were discussing in the some meetings in our classes there about the Shravana Manan and Dityasana, a point came up that whether this is the central theme or not in the discussion of the. But at the time we couldn't.
I mean, you can't make the so central clear. Thing happen. How much vacation time you had and how much you're going to get paid, and do you get paid during vacation? That could probably be the more central.
The point was brought out about whether it is the central theme presented in the Vedas or not. But at that time it wasn't so clear, but now it's like so obvious that...
Yes, but then the point is if they're having a meeting, who there has the background that they have, can even discuss this point? Who has the experience? No? Like that. I mean, it was even accepted by the VTE. It's their main point is, what is it? They reword it so that it takes on the more contemporary thing.
Knowledge, skills, and values.
Yes, knowledge, skills, and values. I mean, as soon as I mentioned that in the meeting, bang, immediately, Burijan took it, the others took it, and then they, you know, asking a few questions and worked it out till they got these words that they wanted. And that was in the 90s, so they're still using it. So it's you can't put it on the side.
This is very similar to Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and
Upasampada.
Because one is Vaishya, the other is Brahmana, and the third is realized.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very nice. All these things, they overlap. At the same time, it's because they have their own... They're dealing in a specific area. They have their own, what do you call it?
Motive.
Yeah, motive. They have their own definitions, their own words, and their own specific application. But it's the same thing like we were discussing before. You take Sambandha, and then Sambandha can be divided into three. You're going to be discussing the situational aspects, you know, all the relationships and all that. You're going to be discussing what are activities that should be done in that and what is the goal of that. But the dynamic at that point is the knowledge and of what is going on. Then you move into Abhideya. It will have with that situation and knowledge of that situation and knowledge of the activities, then you're going to take that relationship and apply it. So Prabhupada says acting within that relationship. And so then that action becomes the central point. And then that action is for the goal of pleasing Krishna. But it's still the theory at that point. Mm. Right? But then in Abhideya, you're going to be taking that the devotees having acted and now have gotten the result, but that result is to please Krishna for his pleasure. So that pleasure of his is the prominent point, and the other two are there. So that's what happens is when you have these terms that actually are overlaid on each other, but they are within a different feature of the same thing. One will be more the Sambandha, one will be more Abhideya, one will be more the Prayojana. So here if you're looking at it, you're hearing, you're contemplating, you're realizing, and therefore worshipping. Right, you're going to be taking an active aspect. It's not the contemplative aspect. So if you want to remove, should we turn these down one more? Let's see, we'll go on to one. Let's see if we get it. No. Bit more quiet. Okay, so that's it. They say silent means on one.
We can't turns on, it's definitely silent.
That is completely silent. Our fans are 100% silent. But it doesn't move exactly when it's silence, right? Yeah, so if you want to remove the aspect of practically applying it, then you don't want to use Shravana Manana and Nidhi Vyasana. You know, if it's just a matter of an academic thing, then you're going to use some other form. But whatever you say, you're going to have to use a division of three. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, you can say all you like that, no, I can do this. It's always three. Why? Because Krishna is the Lord of threes. He's Sat, Chit, Ananda. Therefore, everything in the cosmos coming from him, therefore has these features of three. Doesn't matter how you put it together, there always is. In any field. Like when we talk about right, left, but there's also independent. So it doesn't matter what you always have three. So means you may want to emphasize a different aspect of these three, but you can't get away from these three. You can't get away from sambandha, abhideya, prayojana. So in other words, sambandha, you've heard the knowledge, abhideya, now you are contemplating, you're trying to do something, and prayojana, you actually got the result. The result is now I worship. Right? And so then that will be that feature in this activity. It'll bring you to the point of dynamically engaged in devotional service with actual, you know, conviction. Because before that, you're using your intelligence to do it, but now you're doing it because you want to do it. So it has that aspect of that value. So. Yeah, so it's a very important aspect of this. And the Upanishads, which you would call the Jnanakanda section of the Vedas, it's all based on these three. It's Upanishadic thing, this Shravana Manana. As you see here, this is Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Right? And Aranyaka means out in the forest, and also means contemplating the metaphysical and how that all works. You know, what's behind. And so if you want to doubt it, then just say we're interested in karma. We just want to know what we can do, how much we have to learn to get a job, make money, and, you know, in this way, then make our life happy. You know, I was going to say successful, but that's a term generally we use in the context of spiritual. So here's meaning that rare bhakti, that pure bhakti, it can be attained even from performing these dharmas in relationship to Krishna. Because it's always, the masculine is always manifest through the feminine. Right? That's how it works. The cooking's manifest through the kitchen, the utilities of the kitchen. The place, the kitchen, and the facilities of the kitchen. Then there's the cooking. Does that make sense? So the cooking's the independent. And then the pots and pans and the kitchen are the dependent. You can say, no, but without them you can't cook. But the point is do they have any meaning without cook? Why do we have that cook so you can cook? So that means cooking is the basis. Like this part of the room here, it's not for cooking. It has no facilities for that. In other words, this side of the room, then the principle is, you know, hearing and chanting about Krishna. Right? Then it will be, okay, well, what facilities we need for that? Like just to sit, this, that, blah.
Quiet fans.
You know, so all those things we need. So they go together, but at the same time as they're non-different. Why? Because Krishna and his energy are non-different. That's why it's non-different. Not because we've decided we want to emphasize the secondary and try to elevate it so it's as or more important based on our desire. No, it's equal because of Krishna's desire. Why? How is it equal? Right? It means, if you look at it, on what level is it possible that the energy is equal with the energetic? Not at all. The energetic is independent. Does that make sense? So the energetic doesn't require the electricity. But the electricity requires the energetic. So there's no question of it being equal. So when we talk about equality, we're actually meaning we want to be equal to God. Because you see, it's no, I want that facility because then I'm in control and enjoy it. It's not, I want equality because, you know, they're suffering, I want to suffer.
Well, that's not the case.
Yeah, no, it's very rare that you have that thing where, I mean, you have that aspect with, like, let's say with Moses. I'm saying there's so many examples of here that he's on this elevated level. You have all the people. When he finds out these people, all these slaves, are actually his people, and not meaning his people politically, but his people religiously and culturally, then he, you know, tries to give them a better position within the you know, the environment, that they're also citizens, part of the scene and all that. So then they could be then part of that and that equality there. But since you can't bring them up to that, you know, they're not going to buy that. Therefore, then he took off whatever he's wearing, put on the local clothes, and went down and sat with them. But generally, that's rare. Someone will give up the position and go that. Generally, it's always try to bring them up to your position, but at the same time as, you know, how you say, all equal, all those who are equal except some are more equal than others. You know, it's like that. So the thing is we're looking for that to be of all everyone's equal. We want to be one of the more equal than, you know, more equal. So it's not about. So therefore, we're trying to imitate Krishna. So it was. We want to say we're the Shaktiman. We're the source of everything. Everything's centered around us. So, since it can't be, how is it ever equal? It's only equal when it's based on prema. Right? When that love is there, then we see that Krishna is equal, or even you can be greater. Like Mother Jashoda, she's chastising Krishna. Right? So it's only based on the platform of prema, but that's Krishna's interest. Then, when it's on that level, then you can have all these very nice things. But as far as tattva goes, there's no question. It's like it's not even a point of discussion. It means you can discuss it, but I'm just saying it'll always end up that he's the supreme. He's the absolute. That's the basis. Everyone's God, but he's the supreme God. Why is everything God? Because they're all part and parcel. They've come from God. Like probably gives the example. You have the big industrialist, and that he has his workers, he has his factory, he has so many properties, and this and that. It's all him. It's his energy. You can't say it's not, but at the same time, you can't say it's him, the person. Like that. So it's always distinguished about the person. So that's why that's the highest. So then, what I mentioned here, then the Brahmana, he's that needy dhyasana, he's worshipping. Now within worship, there'll be three levels. Those who are worshipping on that generic, those who are worshipping on that localized, and those who are worshipping on the platform of Bhagavan. So it's always going to be the three. Does that sound like sense? You had something then?
Yeah, just what Prabhupada was saying, that the devotees and the impersonalists, they are, the difference between them is that one is theoretically only accepting that he's spirit, but the devotee is practically planning his life, so this is the difference.
Mm-hmm. Practical. So again, technically it's nididhyasana. So they think they're doing nididhyasana because they've come to a stable position of realization and application, but actually you could have to say it's the lowest level. They're more than when you try to be meditating on the Lord and things like that, and it's only when you actually take up that dynamic worship on the platform of Bhagavan. So that's why you have to be able to see these levels. This is an important aspect, because if you don't see the levels, then it creates problems, because you don't see the how the things connect together. Right? Means, like we were discussing yesterday, is that you take differences of opinion, right? Like say the six schools. And in the six schools, then within there they have different opinions on what is the right path. But they're only talking about secondary aspects. of the actual path. Because the path means the whole thing. If you're only dealing with part, you can't call it the path, though at the same time, it is part of the path. So in that way you can say, but they take it that it's a different path. But when you're looking at it from the Vedantic point of view, the proper thing is they're all on one path, just at different parts, and going to different levels and going different directions. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then the point is that you have is that you like to say of one educational system, and then you're on different parts of the same educational system. So if Krishna, pure unalloyed devotional service and Braja Bhakti is at one end, and you know how you say that realm of Yamaraj where the Yamadutas, you know, have various variegated activities for the individuals there so they don't get bored. You know, I mean, so how many times can be tossed off the top of a mountain, you know, and crash down onto these jagged rocks? I mean, you know, a few times it's exciting, after that it gets boring. Okay, here we go again. You know, and then they drag you back up. You know, so then they have to have something else. You know, does that make sense? You know, like that. So there's then all the, how many different kinds? 28 or kinds of hells? Or I think there's unlimited, but then the 28 are major. So there'll be minor ones of that. In other words, they throw you off the top of the mountain, the rocks aren't so jagged. Or they throw you off the mountain, and it's not jagged at all, it's just flat stone. You know? Like that. Or the mountain's not as high, you know, or there's not as much wind blowing, you know, so it's not like when you're falling off the mountain there's all the sleet blowing in your face, you know, before you, like that. Or the rocks are hot from the sun, or they're freezing cold, like, you know, so there's some variety. Don't worry, no one will get bored. Like that. So that's at the other end. Alright, so then it's just a matter of where you are in between. It's one path. Krishna sees it as one path. We tend to see, because of details, it's completely different. But it's actually how far you are can take a particular understanding and practice. In as much as you were saying yesterday, was it when you say in the first century, then there was one Jewish rabbi, and he was preaching, you know, about pure devotional service. How many people followed, that's another thing. And what happened to him? That's another thing, because it didn't work out good 100 years before for a Jewish guy preaching the same thing. It didn't work out good for him like that. Though they still talk about him today, while the other guy they seem to have forgotten like that. But, so the ideas that you always have is how far it can take you. So that's the difficulty. You're talking about the pure devotion. But then you have, so that means any, if you're talking pure devotion, like it says, so that rare bhakti is attained even from performing one's dharma is endowed with pleasing the Lord. Pleasing the Lord is the highest result of dharma. So Jiva Goswami is making that point. So then that means these other processes, means the other aspects of this one path can be engaged. If that's there, then all these other things are going to make you remember, because they all, if it's, it has something, religion means it will bring you, restrict you to what is your nature and how to engage your nature appropriately, right? Identifying what is the nature and how to engage the nature, because if you don't have the restrictions, you think I can do anything. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then that is there. Then it has to be seen as, okay, the particular religious process that you're connecting, because it is a stage, you're moving. How far can it take you? Right? So now, let's say, okay, this particular rabbi, he's talking about pure devotional service, and he is very advanced in it. But you'll check, if you see, there's also detachment, there's also less identity, he's not politically involved. You know, does that make sense? He controls his senses. So you'll see that these things will be there, while someone else will hear that, but at their position, they'll be applying that, doing the same activities, but with all these other attachments. Now, can that system bring about it so much? That's the thing. How far does that aspect that you're using, does it support these principles of knowledge and detachment that are the secondary principles of supportive principles of bhakti. Right? So if everyone's talking about, you know, just enjoying yourself and going to the heavenly planets and this and that, that's not going to take you very far. You have to add in these other things. So if that can be done in the position you're in, like you see Prahlad Maharaj as a householder is completely absorbed in the Lord, it doesn't affect him or the Pandavas. But at the same time, as for other people, then having a situation in which these things bring out more of a detachment and more knowledge will be favorable. So you have to see how far what you're doing has a value. Does that make sense? So in that way, you add bhakti, they have the equivalency that they are going to help you in bhakti, but at the same time, it's because there's variety and distinction, you have to be able to tell how far it can you can use it. Does that make sense? So that's going to be the thing. Just like, let's say, I'm cooking. So now I need to make a chance, I need to, you know, boil something, I need to do something else, and you know, some steps that are there. Now, I can make the chance in a spoon. Right? But once I've made the chance in the spoon, that spoon cannot help me further in the process. It can't help me boil the vegetables. Right? So if I just have a regular old pot and it's hard to make a chance, I put the vegetables in the pot, I make the chance, I toss it in. Or, if you're more enthusiastic, you can take the whole pot and turn it on its edge at a 45-degree angle. And so then you have that thing that when you put the ghee, you can make the chance, but it's a bit more of a trip. Or I can get, you know, another pan that's bigger and like that, and I can do something else. Or I get a, you know, a wok or a karai that's meant for that. It can, because of the curve, it'll have the small place to put do the thing. Then after that, I can put the vegetables and all the water and boil it. After that, I can put other things. I can also put a lid. I can't put a lid on a spoon. So it's just a matter of the Vedic system is the karai. You can do everything in it. And these other systems are focusing on the local people and how to get them involved in the process. And it will help them to whatever degree they can take it. If they are somehow or another able to apply these higher principles into their position without having to have the mechanics to support them. You know what I'm saying? It's there. Does that make sense? Like that, you're supposed to surrender to God 24 hours. So if that's understood, you can do that. Even though you're in your particular religious system, the rituals that are there, it's less than 24 hours. But you'll be absorbed 24 hours. And so therefore that ritual means if you're 24 hours, then if you're surrendering, you know, X amount of time a day, it doesn't get in the way of the process. Because the process is pure devotional service. It's not like, yes, through this I can get pure. No, there's no question of it. Even the Vedic system on its own, if you only look at the externals, won't get you pure bhakti. It's only through pure bhakti adding that you can get. So in the same way, as you can say, oh, so that means I can follow any religious process and get the same thing because I'm focusing on the secondary. No, it's only what you connect to Krishna, it will work. Because as you advance, you're naturally going to add these things in. But the point is, the Vedic system already has this, that has all these things in. Does that make sense? So that's why we use that. It's what's recommended by those who know the full path. Well, these others are by those who know the full path, but are presenting it to people who don't necessarily have the same piety and qualifications. And so therefore you give how much they can deal with. Does that make sense? So that's why in the thing of this idea of equality, they're all equal, and only equal, then doesn't work. It's unnatural. It's not scientific. There is variety. There is difference. Everything has its uniqueness. To say it's all one means you don't have any brain to distinguish. Intelligence means being able to see what's different and what's the same. So if you say it's all equal, then you have to be able to point out what's the same. But at the same time that you have to point out what's the same, you have to also be able to point out what's different. Because otherwise, if it was the same, you wouldn't be, if I have two chairs that are exactly the same, then where's the question of saying, well, there must be equality. They are exactly the same. But they have a difference. Like I have a stool, and I have one of these fancy ergonomic chairs with all the levers on it. And you can go up and down and spin around, and you know, wouldn't be able to pick a bale of cotton though. That was a very esoteric. So. But the whole point is that there is a difference. You can say they're the same by on the principle that you can sit, and therefore as vehicles for sitting, or mediums for sitting, in that way, then they're in the same category. But ever try to stand on one of those ergonomic chairs and change the light bulb? Not happening, you know, unless you're a gymnast.
Or
unless you're the guy that has your one foot on the top, you know, where you put your neck on the chair and the other foot right just before you do, and you can balance perfectly, and then you have that perfect reach and all that, you know, like that. So unless you're, Black Widow, don't try it like that. So then the stool, now that you can stand on. And then a stool is just a regular stool, or let's say a bar stool. Now a bar stool is really good. And also, in a bar stool, even those from Poland would be able to use. Because it's tall enough that people without having to bend over and hurt their back can basically, while they're standing, then they can stand around the stool and turn the stool while the guy's standing on the stool. Then can just hold the light bulb, you know, and make sure he gets it in the socket, and then it's put in. But a regular one, a short one, you know, that's used, let's say, like a kitchen stool or stuff like that, and that won't work.
Okay, I need to go.
They're still not back?
He said that he got delayed today, he'll come back.
Oh, and that means also...
Pretty much is back.
Okay. So you have to know the difference, because then only you know how to apply it. So when you say they're all exactly the same, it means you don't know the field, you don't know what the field can do, you don't know what you're doing in the field, you don't know what the result is from the field. It means you're uneducated. Your approach is unscientific. They sound nice, but it doesn't actually have any reality. Because nowadays, like you said before, it was equal opportunity was the thing. Because that means you wanted everybody to be able to take advantage of the field. And that is a solid point. It means whoever has qualification to work in that field should be allowed to work in that field. But if it's a matter of, no, anybody can work in that field, but then even people that don't have qualification, that means you have to drop the qualification. You know, so at one point he said everybody and anybody can, you know, drive the bus, means then at least the minimum qualification is they're able to get in the door and sit down in the chair, you know, get into the bus. You know, like that. You don't have to drive, you don't have to know anything, it's just if you can get on the bus, then you can be the driver. And because everybody on the bus wants to be the driver, therefore then you just have all the seats are the same and all that, and instead you can't have them in a line like that in front and back, you have to have them all facing the center. So at the front of the bus, they're facing the back of the bus, they're all saying like that. And you'd have to have, you know, doors at, let's say, the four ends, you know, the two ends and the two sides, so that no one's at the front of the bus or back of the bus. You know, like this, and then you can't go in one direction, otherwise people are like that, so then they would have to, you know, I don't know, maybe the bus spins, yeah, you know, like that. It could spin. You know, so it just goes, you see it becomes absolutely useless. And that's a non-scientific application of equal opportunity. Because equal opportunity means you have qualification, you should have the opportunity to apply yourself there. But if you don't have the qualification, you can't demand it. So that's then where the weakness comes. And so therefore, then you can use that, then they'll say, no, we want equal outcome. So that's even worse, is that means without having any knowledge, I'm going to get the same results. So that means somebody goes to school and learns so many things, he's very qualified, he's going to get the same result as the guy who sits at home, you know, drinking beer, watching television, and doesn't even bother to shave or take a bath. Yes.
I just read that from 2026.
We're not throwing any shade in your area of the country.
I just read from 2026, all in Europe, in European Union, all the business should have quota for women. I mean, in the CEO, I mean, in the managerial structure.
Should have a quota, but the thing is, but does it matter which women? Because if they're smart, if it just has to be a woman, then what they should do is, okay, but make sure that that woman is either, you know, Oriental or Indian. Mm. You know, and only if someone's really qualified, you know, then they could be from somewhere else. But don't say that, you know, it has to be this or that. Why don't we say this? Why not the government? All the government things have to be.
It's moving there.
Yeah, and so therefore, the council that made that, are they in a position to say that? Do they have enough women on the council to give it the weight that is necessary? So if not, then they should, you know, draw straws or that, or which one of them's leaving, and then just bring in some lady. No? I mean, otherwise, why are they talking? You know, this is, then how do we know that it's not what do you call that? What's the terms they use when the men are trying to control everything and it's just a... patriarchal, or they're just patronizing the women and all that. They don't actually mean it. So therefore, then it should be that. It means, well, what's their position to make that decision? You know? Because those people that are making the decision, are those elected officers or are those just people that worked out? You know, however, it should just be immediately start from the top, set the example. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the whole point is then if you want to become, you know, a third world economic, you know, force, do these things. The point is who's qualified. So the point is if there is a woman qualified, she can't be, you know, not considered because she's a woman. That's the thing. But the point is unless they're qualified, then within that, are they also going to make the rules that the woman CEO can't consider, even though, because it's not her company, if she's the CEO, it's someone else's, right? She can't have that sense of possession and deal with everyone as if they're hers. They have to make that rule also. Or, if no, that's allowed because she's a woman, so then the man would have equal rights. They could also deal like that. You know, so the whole, it's just, it's not, they're not using their brain, you know? It means if it's a matter of the opportunity, and therefore people who are qualified, and nowadays there's more ladies that, you know, are happy to do that kind of thing and give up, you know, their own, you know, actual personal life, you know, then fine, you know? Like that, because you see this, and like in India, there's a lot of ladies who are running businesses and all that. But you'll generally see it's because it's their business. It'll work better. It's the CEO, I'm not sure. Maybe it'll work, you know, from the power, the control, the facility that comes from there, but at the same time, as you have to see is how good it will work. But if they want to make it equal, then you can't have more than 50%. If it's a matter of no, but if there's more ladies qualified, then there's more men that are qualified. If you look at it, in CEOs of the world, there's more men who are qualified, so then what does it mean it matter if there's more? But if you say, no, it has to be equal, 50%, then you have to make a rule it cannot be more than 50%. In other words, if there's, you know, one less, you know, That is what, you can't have one more lady. Means in this business, okay, we have our quota of ladies, and then now a CEO is missing in this company. So now it can't be filled by a woman; it has to be filled by a man. You know, or if it's a matter of no, but there has to be of the women, you know, then half of them have to be, you know, some, you know, ethnicity other than white, then that's okay. But if there's one more, no, it has to be that. No, this is for the white women's CEO position. Like that. If anyone wants to trade, they can, you know, they want that better and give up the one they have, and then the white woman can get that, then that's okay. But, you know, I mean, they have to use their... There has to be, but all this is sentiment. Basically, it comes down to is that people want something and they'll find any way to get it. Right? The means justify, and the end justifies the means. And the end is that they're going to control and enjoy. It's not about that it's engaging their nature. It's not about their duties. It's not about their obligations. Because the point is if you have that, the woman does that, the obligations are the same. Everyone else's rights are the same. Right? So let's say you have a man, he's the boss. Okay? And if he's upset one day and he's grumpy and yelling and screaming and that, and another day he's wonderful and nice and that, and the game, and he's like this, and it's constantly changing like that. The workers there, will they consider that a nice environment? No. Right? And you would look at it as a fault in that man. But now if a woman's in that position, then she'll defend herself because it was a bad hair day. Something happened. You know? And so then does she have the right to do that? If she does, what's her obligation to everybody else? Is after that, is she going to be giving out chocolates and extra bonuses because she had a bad hair day? There has to be a balance. Or she has to not. She just has to be the same every day. You say, well, that's impersonal. Then, okay, then the workers. One day he feels like working. You know, it was a good day at home, and one day his wife is grumpy, so he can't work. He's just sitting there and moping. Then you have to allow that. Then it comes down to if everyone to come to work, or everyone to stay at home, or this and that. So just everyone sits at home and feels like whatever they like to feel. Isn't that what the... Those brains in jars in Dune do? Right? They just sit around and heal. So then, you know, it's just a bunch of babies on the Anamoy platform. So one has to be very, very careful with these things. You know, when you say the laws of nature, the laws apply, it doesn't matter who you are. That's how too much of who you are or who you think you are. Okay, so the Brahminical class is essential for actual human civilization. So he doesn't say for actual human civilization. Because actual means they're acting as humans, not that they have the human form. We're not talking about civilization for those with the human form. We're talking about for human beings like that. Which begins with social system of Varnashram Dharma. For Varna's not, and it says it begins, actual human civilization begins with this. So, but it begins there, but then it has to go up through these stages. So it begins with that, because then you have, like we said, then you have the what do you call it? The dvija, then the vipra, then the vaishnava. Right? Dvija, vipra, what was that? Yeah, but then when Prabhupada went through this order of those, he also gave it in a very... Oh, it's just above this. Known as scholars, fourth class man. He became third class of dvija. Cultivation of knowledge and culture becomes second man, vibra. But one who knows Brahman is the first class man, a brahmana. Okay, so then the dvija, vibra, and then brahmana. Then Vaishnava. Right? And then a Vaishnava, then Shuddha. Pure devotee. And then of that, then Kevala Bhakti. You know? So again, three levels.
I think Maharaj, this is caused by just unacceptance of the very idea of hierarchy, that there is a hierarchy everywhere, that some people are just naturally more qualified than others in certain areas. So if you don't accept this, then you want to establish equality.
Yeah, because there's karma. But it doesn't mean, see, the thing is the difficulty comes down as they want to remove all the obstacles that they will be exploited. But at the same time, the areas that they want to keep are the areas where they can exploit. Like you say, okay, no one has any authority, no one's this and that. But it's just like you were saying. I mean, we say before the contemporary classroom etiquette, you know, no devotee can use their position or anything, you know, in that class, but they're using their authority and having come up with a system to say that you can't.
Yeah.
Where does it say in the Vedas that someone in their position is not respected? Because they don't mention that no one can use it as a position to, you know, get something done, but that doesn't mean that everybody doesn't respect each other according to their position and that. That's not mentioned because we're not dealing with human sentiment here. We're not dealing with human life here. This is not a system for humans. Human form of life, but it's not actual human civilization. Because it doesn't recognize that. So once you do that, then you don't have to recognize anything. So you see, the more they get down on, you know, the gurus or this or that, you know, that's not the real thing, though that Vedas do. They make it that, no, we are the thing. We are the champions. You know, so, you know, it's got to be about us. You know, it's not even Prabhupada's the main thing. They become the main thing. You know, it's from God being the main, and there's Jesus, and then Jesus becomes God, and then you don't really need God. So if you have faith in Jesus, great, okay, but what about God? Faith in Jesus means you have faith that He has, which means faith in God.
Don't study the Vedas. Just listen to the messenger.
Well, that's the thing, because the Old Testament goes, and this and that, and then, you know, because the New Testament is just what's centered around Krishna. I mean, about Christ. But yeah, so then it'll come up to that. You don't have to study all these things. It's just you have to have the sentiment. If you accept Prabhupada in your heart, then you're saved. Will they give out free guitars? It's acoustic, of course. Like that. Only 6-string. We're not going to get fancy.
Ukulele?
Yeah, ukuleles. That we could probably do. I don't know if that would go down so good, right? You know, would that work? You just sit in the park with a ukulele when everyone comes sit around? I mean, unless you were that, you know, that, how do you call that, Chinese kid, then maybe it would work.
You'd get a neat crowd.
Yeah, yes.
It looks fun.
Yeah, it wouldn't quite have the same draw. So the things that you, human life has a certain standard. And so therefore you have those things, and then within that you have to accommodate. Now you can say, oh, but it's too much trouble. Then that just means you don't have the capability, you don't have the qualification. But we want to say is that, you know, I'm working on a lower level, I'm attached, I'm this, I have so many material desires, but I'm exactly the same and equal to that devotee who's more advanced than everything. You can't say he's more advanced than me just because of the externals. So you're working on externals are the same, but that makes us all devotionally the same. Okay. But then that's the point of the equal, or equal but equal outcome. Is that, why would it be equal outcome? It's a matter of your advancement. Okay. You're working, let's say you have the grihastha, he's very advanced. You would have to recognize him for that. And then you have someone else who's a brahmachari, and he's very advanced. So that way you could say, then there's equal outcome that they're both advanced. But as far as their ashram goes, then the brahmachari is going to have to respect the grihastha as senior, unless it's one of these very senior brahmacharis who are more kind of like the vanaprastha kind of thing, then they would be respected from that position. But at the same time, the brahmachari would respect the grihastha because of his position, because it's just the nature of the real social relationship. So you can't say it's all just the same. If you are, that means it's not intelligent. The fun part is this kind of philosophy comes from those who claim to be the most intelligent. Mm-hmm. You know, they have letters after their name, and it shows I'm intelligent.
Yeah. Because he could actually
have the letter in the middle of your name instead of after, you know, like Alfred E. Newman. That's
because you could actually use the differences to your advantage.
Yes, exactly.
If he's more advanced in such and such area, why don't you just go and get his mercy or something?
Yeah, go get your mercy or work hard and do that. It's like Prabhupada with the BBT. You want to control the BBT? Become a trustee. Take up the responsibility. It's your business to see that this kind of book in this language is printed and distributed in this area of the world. Then you can control the BBT. But you can't be outside and say, no, we'll control the BBT. They'll do all the work, we'll get all the results. You can't do that.
Otherwise, the alternative is you perceive any difference as a threat to you that somebody will exploit you. But you could see it like as an opportunity. Why?
Because otherwise, how far can you take it? You just keep doing it like this, is that one's got your equal opportunity, as you pointed out, from some particular ism. But then when those areas that you didn't mention before, because you had some control, someone else gets control of, then now how do you apply your ism? You know? How do you apply it when you have all the CEOs are now women, but they don't let certain women come into the circle? Now how do you pull it's, you know, we're all equal because they're all, you know, it's about women. Because now women are controlling and making the decision.
All these systems are not very good in a practical application. They're just isms.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
They're all secondary. So that's the point that Jiva Goswami is making, is that based on this, you know, we had Aranyaka Upanishad. That you have to understand there's levels. You prefer another flavor or no?
Consistently declines both.
Yeah, the new ones, they got the things you can close it. Before we just get to roll it up, just
right
in your pocket. The four Varnas are the Brahmins, the priests and intellectuals, the Kshatriyas, the warriors and administrators, the Vaishyas, the farmers and merchants, then the Shudras, the manual laborers. The four Ashrams are the brahmacharis, the celibate students, the grihastas, the householders, the vanaprasthas, the retirees, and the sannyasis, the renunciates. Unless human society is scientifically organized according to this varnashram system, it is animal society. So Prabhupada's not saying that there's a time, there's no shelf life on this. It's an eternal principle. It's not that, yes, this is what it was before and now it's not. So that's the thing, is where we're saying we're going to interpret it like this, but Prabhupada says right here, you have to remember, this is Prabhupada's purport. You know, this is, where is this? This is... Yeah, and then chapter 9, Dharma, the Way of Transcendence. So this is then taking from some lecture or discussion or... So Prabhupada's saying this, and that's what is there, and that's why... So this says, oh, but we can't do this, means... Just say, I don't know how to do this. So, does anybody know how to do this? What's your idea? And then they come forward, and then you say, oh, but what about this? We doubt this or that. This might be a problem. Because then some who are confident, then they may know how to do it in a particular environment. But then as you adjust the environment, they may not be so good at it. But the point is Prabhupada was saying, this can be established. Right? You know, scientific. And it says, oh, but that's just sentiment of this. No, it's science. But you have to know. So then
that's a mineral.
No, I don't know what it is. No, it's still up here. maybe what? Someone's caught the vibe, what's going on here. And
what?
Actually, never thought of that as an alternative.
Yeah,
we can try a little bit. Just very little. Yeah, like that. Thank you.
Sure.
Sorry, you were saying. You were saying something?
No.
I was saying something. You were going to say something.
Oh. I just wanted to ask him that maybe you have a private bond with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's inside. It's going like a tickle or an itch. Like right on the, or here. I don't know what's there. What's here? Nothing's there. Tonsils are up here. They're up here. Okay, so then, just thinking if the Omen Sim doesn't like what you're saying. Yeah. It is not human society. It says here, unless human society is scientifically organized according to this Varnashram system, it is animal society. It is not human society.
Oh, so you're saying about the shelf life.
Yeah. And in animal society, you cannot expect any intelligence or any sense of goodness or any idea of God. It is not possible. So that's the thing, is that you can't expect intelligence. So if we reject it, it means we're not using intelligence. We're not thinking about God. We're not thinking about the mother goodness. Because mother goodness means performing your duties. That means I don't want to be restricted to one duty. I want to do what I feel like. Right? Like that. I want to have the rights where I feel like. I don't want to have any obligation unless I can, you know, it's obvious and I'm comfortable with it. So that means motive goodness is gone. Right? Intelligence means you can distinguish between them to be able to analyze who can actually do what. Right? And any idea of God, because it's God's system. Krishna made it. Krishna said it's his. It comes from him. You know that Bhagavad Gita shloka?
What is it?
Yes. 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 So that verse that Krishna is saying, it's come from him. It's his system. So that means it doesn't have any foundation. You say, well, modern society doesn't follow, but they follow it, but unscientifically, because you can explain it to someone who does have intelligence, and they'll understand it. So if they say they're intelligent and you explain it and they only come up with issues and that, then they're not actually as intelligent. Because those doubts, those misgivings aren't based on intelligence. That's based on samskar. They're feelings.
So they assume that you're the bad guy?
Yeah, they assume. But otherwise, you explain it to someone who practically works in the material world, actually getting results, they won't deny it. They'll say, yeah. They just never looked at it that way because it was never presented that way. They know they're there. Anybody who lives, works on a governmental level know that all these different divisions are there. No? How do you not? How can you not? It means a society, there's no students?
They got the stripes and the stars to prove it.
Yeah. They can understand it. They can definitely understand it. Because everything has its hierarchy.
Usually Vaishyas are more easy to talk about these things.
Yeah, and they also are comfortable with their position. They don't mind. Because if they become bigger, then they'll control the other two anyway. So it's just a matter of time. Yes?
Maharaj, when I was a student, I should pass one exam to write essay about right social system in our university. And I wrote about Varnashrama Dharma and in categories of Platon, because we didn't study Indian philosophy and I couldn't use it. And my teacher said, how you can say this since it's completely against modern theory. And I said to him, but it's innovation, yes, that's why it's quite scientific.
Yeah, it's innovation. I mean, that's the thing. We present it as innovative. It's new, it's fresh, it's innovative. You know, it's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I was talking to because I think in the mid-1800s, then the aristocratic, the children of the aristocrats had started going to the British schools, like that. And so then they had these more, you know, worldly views and all that. And so then he was addressing them. And he was talking about, you know, so someone looks into it, but this old and this and that, and then he goes through it, and then they saw that, no, it's new, it's fresh, it's something special, it's unique. It's in this way they became attracted to Lord Chaitanya. And he was just showing the method how they went through it. And so that's the thing, is it's just how you present it. That's the thing. You take one thing that's really good, just present it as bad. Or you take something that's bad and present it as good. You know? It's just like... So it goes on all the time.
I had a similar experience on Buddhist tradition. Some people, they will not take any book of Prabhupada.
Ooh.
Not interested. But if you tell them, no, this book is written by me, actually. I wrote this book. And then they're interested. Because it's something new, something fresh. It's your own practical code that you follow. You make your own contribution, unique. So that, and then when they take this book, they usually give a good amount that you can give them also proper books. And then they don't mind.
Okay, so they get it for free. That's an interesting method of teaching it. Write your own book, sell that, give Prabhupada's book for free.
Usually they pay for Prabhupada's books also.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes they get so gifted, but usually they give you for more because it's your book, so they appreciate it.
Okay. Interesting. Very far out. So that, therefore, the saying "publish or perish," right? No. It means either you publish and go out and dynamically preach, or you just deal with congregation.
Perish.
Yes. Okay. The system of Varnashram is natural because it is a creation of God. Right there. Just as the body has four divisions, the brain, arms, belly, and legs. Society also has four divisions, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. This is natural. But if the head is cut off, what is the value of the body? It is a dead body. Similarly, at the present moment, there is no Brahminical culture in society, and so it is headless. There may be a very strong arm department, the Kshatriyas, a well-equipped economic department, the Vaishyas, and numerous labor department, the Shudras, but because there's no head department, the Brahmins, society is like a dead body. Therefore, everyone is suffering. Like that. And so if it's running around, then you know it must be a chicken, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it won't. In the Krishna conscious movement, we are training Brahmanas so that human society may be saved. It is not that the other classes are unimportant. In the body, the brain is very important, but the legs are also important because if your legs do not work and you cannot move, your brain cannot help you. So there must be cooperation between all the bodily limbs. Although the brain is the most important part of the body, still the leg is required, the hand is required, the belly is required. Everything is required. Similarly, all the social and spiritual classes in the Varnashram system are necessary for society to function properly. So it's just a matter of, like we were saying, be dynamic and explain it so that people appreciate it. You know, you explain, because you said, what's the good side? Instead of defending what they say is the bad, present what's good. They forget about the other side. Yeah. Or if you've already established something that's good, then if a negative comes up, then you can explain it in the context of the positive. Hmm? So, we do not disregard any social division, but we say that everyone must work for the satisfaction of Krishna. Some sit here, Hari Toshanam, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13. So this is the real point. It's taken that establishing Varnashram is the main point. No, it's when it says half of Prabhupada's work is Varnashram, But it's not. That's the secondary tool to use, because that will deal with the whole community. Temple's been established. The Brahminical's been established. Now the Varnashram includes the whole community. And so now, just as those in the temple are fully engaged in Krishna service, then the community, they can learn how they can do their duties in connection with Krishna. That's the whole point. It's not that the Varnashram itself is what's important. It's just the best media for including everybody. So therefore, from that platform, then some sit here, Hari Toshanam, then doing everything for Krishna, that's the actual point. That's the anucheta that he's giving, is that these secondary aspects of religion become valuable when they're connected to pure bhakti. Right? And otherwise, then they're not, they're pious, they're nice, you know, maybe human, but human life is meant for going back to Godhead. And so if you just follow Varnashram, you don't go back to Godhead. You have to do it in connection with peace of Krishna. So it's the bhakti that's the independent factor. Then every member of society can achieve perfection. It doesn't matter what you do, but if you can satisfy Krishna by your art and intelligence and education, in other words, by your work, then your life is perfect. Yes, so the it doesn't matter the position. That's the thing, is trying to attach prestige to thing. No, it's whatever you're doing is prestigious. They make it a no. Prestigious, that means if you say something's prestigious, means that's more valued or better or more what you desire. But then but that's not what it is. It's everybody, according to their capacity, does their activity. And so those that their natural proclivity is to do those prestigious positions, but it's by guna and karma. It's not that they want to, it's they have the ability to. Right? In other words, if they take it up, it works. While others want to do it, and then they take it up, it doesn't work. So it's not that. You can say, oh, it's the prestige. Okay, he has the prestige of having stepped into a position that somebody was making it work, and he stepped in, and it's not working. How is that prestigious?
It's impressive.
Yeah, but then you have to say, no, but he's done present, this and that. Oh, then if you say, oh, but we're all equal, then what does it matter? Someone is leading and someone's following. What does it matter? So in other words, someone's successful, I want to have that position be successful and get the facilities of that. And they shouldn't have it. You know, so it's like, if that's there, it's envy. If it's a matter of they have it, I also want it, so I'll also do it. I mean, you know, he started a temple and he's going good, I'll start a temple, and you know. And then it's transcendental competition. But it's, he started the temple, he's there, he's brought it up and it's successful, now I'll kick him out and then I'll take over. That's envy.
Yes, it is.
You know, you have the thing, someone's taken nothing and it's nothing, and nobody did it, nobody cared. You know, it was the full henny penny, right? And then when you get it to the point where it works, then the leadership comes in and says, we'll take it from here. And 100% guaranteed, they don't take it from there. They drop the ball.
They take it from there.
They take it, but then they take it from there and then drop it. And then it, you know, falls into the gutter. And then the fun part is that person who was doing that, you know, if they don't go into, you know, manic depression, then they go and start somewhere else and becomes just as successful. While at the same time, they took from nothing, brought it up to successful. The other guy took it from successful and rode it into the ground where there's nothing. So that's not the Vaishnava system.
So we shouldn't be so worried about the type of work, we should be worried about the quality that we put into it.
The quality. Means, the point is this, if you're fully engaged, that is what takes you back to Godhead. It's not that I do a bigger work. Yeah. Remember once, I think, Bhavananda, I was just giving a class and he was talking about the big devotee. Mm. He says, if your identity, I'm the big devotee, and therefore I do big service, I do this, I do that, then the problem is, since it's your identity, then at the end of life you'll have to come back to be the big devotee. Well, everyone else who identified as servant of Krishna at the end of life, they go back to Godhead. Well, you have to stay here. It's like that, like Vritrasura. He's the devotee. He goes back to Godhead. Indra, because he thinks I'm the king of heaven, he stays here. And Prabhupada mentioned that in the purport. But he's the loser. You know, the big L on the forehead. I guess if you put two L's opposing each other, then it looks kind of like Tilak.
Yeah, like Ramana.
Yeah, Ramana. Or turn it the other way. It just looks like comes down, and then you have like, you know, some kind of design over your eyebrows. Oh, that way. Now that's another one.
It's almost like a Roman.
Yeah, yeah.
Gladiator helmet.
Or you could do both ways, and then you just have a square.
There you go.
Diamond shape.
Let me give you a visionary. Sorry.
What is the other one? What's that one? I don't even know how to do it. Was it that one?
People like this.
Yeah, they do. Okay. Okay. We don't say, don't do your work. Do your work, but do it for Krishna. Then it is perfect. Otherwise, go to hell. Shrama AVK Malam. Srimad Bhagavatam 128. And that's what it does. It makes a hellish environment. It means your life becomes hell, and you make everyone else's life hell because you think that your life is the center of everything. So naturally, it becomes a hellish environment. And Varnashram is no. The whole thing. Krishna is the center, and this is the social form of his body. It's the universal form. So Krishna, in that, is the form of the universe, then human society is this Varnashram form. And then you take these positions. And so then you work to please Krishna. So that's the point. Just like the brain, we use the brain for what? For pleasing Krishna, the super soul. You know, and we're not those things, we're the soul, we're separate from those things. So therefore, it works. Someone may claim, okay, here comes the what is it? The Shamshaya. Kintu. But I am a philosopher and I am doing my duty. But do you know God and do you serve God? So that is the Uttara. then their continuation. Yes, I know God. I am God. I know God. I'm familiar with God. You know,
it seems to have a flaw in their sambandha.
There seems to be some
relationship between me and God is that I am God.
Yes,
that's the relationship.
Yeah, I know God. Yes.
Perhaps recently I got a link on one cartoon, modern cartoon, which is very popular now, and it was explained how we are God. It was one person there who died, and he met a God. And God, and he asked, what will be with my family, where are you? And he told, he answered, you are dying, and your family will be very happy without you because you still didn't have time to harm them enough. They will think about you nicely. And then he asked,
okay, that's the positive. You didn't do anything negative, so you're a great guy. Okay.
Then he asked, but what will happen with you, with me? And God told, I will send you in a new life. You will be born in China, medieval China. And then he asks, but something like I want to meet some another people who was alive. And he told, but another people are not exist, only you are exist. And he asked, but how only I exist? So many people in every life around me. And God told me, but it's all of them are you. It's your different incarnations. Mm. And only you are existing in this universe. And
he these guys are too
much. And God told him, if when you beat someone and you beat yourself in your previous life, then he told, what is the purpose of my traveling here in this universe? And he told, because I'm God and I want to make you God also. And when you will study here enough, you will become God as me. And he asked, means this universe is only egg? Yes, you are an egg, but you will become a God when you will go out of this egg. And this cartoon is very, how do you say, people very like.
So it's just a one-fold misery, then?
Yeah.
You're administering my own karma when I hit you.
Well, in a sense, you can say there is some truth because there are different living entities, but they actually deal with you the way you dealt with somebody else in the past. So
yeah, yeah.
In this sense, you live with yourself.
Always. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
But so if you want that, why would you have to go through that? What was the impetus then?
What did you say?
Then how is God separate from you explaining it to who are God?
Yeah, and so that's the thing. And then you'd be God, but then there's two gods. Then what do you do? And so God's alone, and you're the only one that hasn't made it yet? Or you're the only one, the first one to maybe make it? Or?
When people ask what Buddha such questions, usually they write, Buddha just kept noble silence.
Yes, kept a noble silence, yes. He just smiled. It's like the rose. The lecture of the rose.
He just showed them.
You know her? Yeah, you know. I mean, he's one. I mean, it was a very big group. I think it was a very, very big. Everyone came. And then when he sat, he came and sat, and then he picked up a rose and just held it up. He said nothing, just like that. And everybody's sort of thinking the rose, and they're all coming up with their own ideas. Oh, this is amazing. Oh, this is that. And you know, so many things. Yeah.
About life and how beautiful and fragile and delicate it is.
Yeah, it unfolds like a little and this and that. And
no, he wasn't. He was clearly talking about
the thorns and that of life. The
suffering in the material world. And even though you try to enjoy it, you still have to. No, he was talking.
I don't even know what you're talking about. He was talking about, don't forget Mother's Day. It's coming up in 2 weeks, so you better go out and buy your roses.
You know. I mean, it's funny because even if he actually was talking, they would still have different perceptions of what he was saying. So may as well just hold up.
As they did. They said in Bruin. They split in Italy after 2 hours.
How many groups?
I think in the beginning there were two only, but then
the shoe and then the pot.
The shoe and the pot.
No. No, that was a Monty Python.
The life of Brian.
And he somehow or another became.
He became
Jesus. Because somehow or another something happened to Jesus and he came out, people didn't know, and then they grabbed him and thought he was the Messiah. Okay. Even though Jesus is somewhere else, you know.
But the end was quite refreshing for me, the end. When he was saying, you came up with nothing? And you go with nothing. So what do you lose? You don't lose anything. Because you came from nothing. You didn't exist. So now you shall not be existing in the future. But you lose nothing. Mm. At the moment of death. So that was back in the day. I was keeping myself.
Oh, okay. I only remember
the song.
I only remember the song.
The song. No, I don't remember.
Because they're all on the cross. All these guys on the cross, they all start singing a song and feel that.
Yeah, that's what they're singing.
Okay, that's what they were singing. Oh, I didn't catch the words. Just know they were singing.
That they came from nothing. Okay.
Yeah, they speculate a lot, no? There's ideas and all that because of the human nature, and there's some scar, but they have heard all these things and that at some point or another. In their sojourn of the material world. Because, I mean, if you start off at Brahma and you've been educated by Krishna, you've definitely heard them. Yeah. In other words, you start off having heard the whole Veda. You know?
Had the processing capacity.
Yeah, to do it. And then after that, then it's downhill from there. You know? So you have the samskar. Then you have the Prajapatis and the sages and then this and then the worm and stool. And, you know, it's just you just do the full circle.
And you end up in a universe where it's only you and your experience.
Yeah. And that would be bad. And everyone says, last life you did this. But you're
currently doing it to me. Let's break the cycle.
But we like the break part. We like what you say. We were thinking to break it. Okay. How are we doing here? Oh, we're way over time. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.